Welcome to Comedians Talking Sports, the podcast where comedians talk sports. I'm your host, Joe Kilgallen. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Got a great one in store for you today. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Comedy Sports Pod. Give us a like on Facebook. That's simply Comedians Talking Sports. Also on Instagram, not doing much there, but still check it out. Looking to, you know, post some more sports shit for you, I suppose. Maybe a picture of an athlete grabbing his crotch. I don't know, adjusting the cup out in center field. We'll figure it out. Got a great one in store for you today. Got Jake Weissman, hilarious comedian. Dude performs all over LA. He's part of this great sketch comedy group called Women. Follow him on Twitter, at Weissman Jake. You're going to like this one. We talked about a lot of really fun stuff. Let me tell you what's going on right now for me. For those of you who are listeners in the Midwest, the Iowa area in particular, I will be in your great state June 8th through 12th. I believe those are the dates. Wednesday, June 8th through Saturday, the 12th. Is it 12th? We'll figure it out. I'll be at Diamond Joe's Casino in Dubuque, Iowa. Then I'll be in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, performing at the Penguins Comedy Club Friday and Saturday night. That's June 10th and 11th, actually. And then my Chicago people, I'll be back home at the end of the month. It'll be June 26th through July 1st. I've got shows already set up. I'll be back at my old stomping grounds, Timothy O'Toole's Comedians You Should Know. And then I'll also be at the Whip Theater, one of my favorite new spots in Chicago. I'll probably have a Laugh Factory date in there. Also the Zany's Rosemont. I'm going to try to fill up a couple more dates. But when I'm back home, I like to see my friends and family, so I try not to do too much. But I end up doing way too much anyway. Drinking and eating like a pig. That's what you do when you're in that good old city of Chicago. So JoeKilgallen.com to check all that stuff out. Right now, we're going to go to the podcast with Jake Weissman. We had a really good conversation talking some hockey, talking sports in general, that baseball brawl that just happened over the weekend. We also reviewed the 30 for 30 documentary, The Price of Gold. So I hope you enjoy. Thanks for listening to Comedians Talking Sports. Jake Weissman, what's up, man? Thanks for being on Comedians Talking Sports.
Thank you for having me on a podcast that no one believes I'm qualified to know about. So I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited because we're going to get into some hockey. And I heard that's like your favorite sport.
Yes, sir.
I was desperately looking for comedians who knew hockey. There's a lot of comedians that do like sports. Not as many. It's kind of a small minority there. But they don't know hockey.
Yeah, hockey just is like a forgotten thing. I just think it's the best sport.
Yeah. I'm baseball's my number one. Hockey's mm-hmm. my number two. Mm-hmm. I'd rather watch a hockey game live than a baseball
sure.
game live. That's definitely the best there. We'll get into that, though. Speaking of baseball, my number one, there was a baseball brawl over the weekend. It was on Sunday. And it was between Jose Bautista of the Toronto Blue Jays. And this name's a nightmare. And I think people know that it's a bad name. Ruffined Odor, second baseman for the Texas Rangers. And I think what was exciting about it, and I don't know, even if you're not a big baseball guy, I think people get pumped up for a baseball brawl only because you know benches are going to clear.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something about, like, hockey, like, I saw these memes, like, where we're like, oh, that's cute. Like, where it's a bunch of hockey players laughing at the one baseball fight that happens.
Well, I just think, I don't know. I'm kind of stuck between, like, trying to be a progressive person and really enjoying the past way sports were done. And the past way sports were done, it was a lot of fighting. There was a lot of, like, grown men beating the shit out of each other in baseball and hockey and football. And I just think, like, that's fine. These are, like, the most aggressive men on earth. They're putting on a show, and they're fighting each other. And I just don't see, like, I just don't necessarily see the problem with them hitting each other once in a while. Like, I know that violence is bad. I get that violence is bad, and it's not in the rules. But also, I think what people forget about professional sports is it is entertainment.
Yes,
and that is
exactly.
So exciting. Like, what do you want? You just want the most polite stuff ever? Like, why are you that whitewashed?
Well, you touched on a few things that I totally agree with. One being it's not in the rules, especially in baseball. Fighting is definitely not in the rules. So when it happens, it's like, holy shit, look at this. And I'm like you, too. I want to be more progressive about these things. You know, I might want to have kids one day. I think we need to study more about concussions.
Right.
There's some things
right.
where I'm like, yes, let's make the game a little safer. What's wrong with that?
Right.
And then it's like, oh, hit him in the face. That was awesome. So you're like
yeah.
torn between, you're walking that line where it's like, oh, that was a great hit. But I hope the doctor checks on him quickly.
And especially for baseball. I mean, football, obviously, like, that's a whole nightmare. And they honestly don't fight that much in football, considering
really
what they do to each
nah.
other. But But I think that with baseball, it's like baseball's got to do some stuff for the ratings. I mean, that it used to be America's pastime, and I think a lot of people, someone was saying to me last year that people don't even know who Mike Trout is. Mike Trout is one of the greatest players ever. I mean, he really is one of the greatest players ever. He's like 23 and already like clearly one of the most talented people ever. And people don't even know who he is. And I don't know if that's sad or not, but I think baseball needs to get some writers in there and like they go WWF on that shit.
I think they do. Baseball actually talked to their commissioner. I saw a headline this morning that said he's not happy with the length of games, like how long they're taking.
Right.
So they're trying to do stuff to make it quicker. You know, if we're living in a Vine world, you can't have a 4-hour baseball game.
Well, exactly. Just, I remember growing up, my
father... Which I hope we're not living in a Vine world. Now that I said that, that made me feel...
Well, Vine is so quick, but it's leaving just as fast. I mean, we're in a Snapchat world right now.
Yes, you're right. That's a good point.
But I think that... I don't know. I remember growing up, my dad, and I was just used to it. My dad would always be like, they take too much time in between the pitches. They used to, like, the players, like, the pitchers used to, like, get the ball and throw it, get the ball back, throw it, get the ball back, throw it. It was a fast game.
Because they wanted the rhythm.
Yeah,
too.
And now it's like this whole mind game thing. And I get it. And the game just does whatever it does. And you can, the game changes. And I don't want to be too crotchety. But I do think that nobody has attention spans, and you should do stuff like make it fun. And I mean, obviously fighting, it's bad, but I don't know. I saw the highlight and I was like, yeah, I want to know more about this. I want to watch the next game they play. ESPN will have it. You know what I mean? They'll like play it. It'll be like a fun game. And I don't know. I just think also so many sports like baseball and football, we have players who are like loud and aggressive, and it's fun. And it's good to have people like Bautista. Like, I love when people grandstand after home runs.
Oh, good.
I think
bat
it's fun.
Flip.
Yeah.
It's great.
And so he gets punched in the face for that. That's fine. And I mean, I don't know if that's why he got punched or not, but it could be. And I think that's fine. Like, I just am like, he's a grown man. Like, if he doesn't like get his jaw wired shut, he'll be fine, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he's being paid handsomely. What's funny about Jose Bautista, though? And I love him. He's a great player. I was in Toronto a few years ago doing a couple shows, and we went to a game, and he blasted like 2 home runs. He was a lot of fun to watch. He follows me on Twitter.
What?
Yeah. Here's the thing about that though. He's also, I don't know who he hired to do his social media. He's got like a few 100,000 followers or something like that. Probably close to like 400,000 or 500,000, which just makes sense. He's an all-star. But he's also following like a couple 100,000.
Oh, gotcha.
And I'm like, you don't need to do that.
Yeah,
he's kind of like this bullshit band where it's like, if we just follow everyone, they'll follow us back, and then our songs will be on the radio. It's like, dude, you're on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. Shit. You don't really need to, you know, boost your following like that. I think if you have you should have at least a 3-to-4-to-1 ratio. Or you don't have to, but that's acceptable.
I think it's funny. The idea of Jose Bautista at home, like coming home from batting practice and checking his faves is really funny to me.
Yeah.
He's like, oh God, I that tweet didn't do well.
He responds a lot. So that makes me think he just hired someone to take care of that for him. Like, oh, that's something I have to do now. It's part of my brand.
But
he's at Joey Bats.
That's a fun name. I just think, I don't know, like people who are assholes, I used to be more against them as a kid, but now that I'm older and you see how like boring everyone's trying to be, it's like, I like people like that. I like that Bryce Harper is a piece of shit. I like that he's like a motherfucker, because it's like, I'll at least be entertained for 10 years. Like, do some Kanye shit. Say some crazy shit. Like, get in fights. I'm like, I'm at home waiting to be entertained, and I'd rather be entertained by that than Trump winning president. You know what I mean?
Yes. It's like, that's,
you know.
I couldn't agree with you more about that.
Yeah.
I always like to compare politics and sports because they've definitely grown that way. I'll tell people who are novices to both subjects, turn on Fox News, MSNBC, or CNN, all 3 of them, and do that like button where you could flip channels real quick, and then line it up with ESPN or Fox Sports Net or NBC Sports. If you flip back and forth, they look the same.
And it's people who don't know what they're talking about yelling.
Yes, people who don't know what they're talking about yelling.
Yeah.
They got the ticker on the bottom. They try to do all real flashy, breaking news, and they do all these stupid graphics that are totally unnecessary.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of ignorance. And people have become so diehard about it where, you know, I think it's starting to break a little bit with Trump. Maybe I'm wrong. But I know it used to be every Republican I knew was, I'm voting Republican, and I don't care if a Republican comes out and says my mom's a piece of shit. I'm like, they're just so diehard. And it reminded me how I am with the Cubs. I'm a diehard Cubs fan. And I thought about those years where I was like, no, Jack Jones is a good signing. That makes sense. Like 3 years, 27 minutes. Like, I justified it, even though in the back of my head, I was like, this is a horrible move. But I'm such a diehard, I just had to find ways to act like it was a good idea.
Yeah.
And that's how we've become with politics. So it totally mirrors each other. And you're right. I'd rather see A couple guys punching each other, then hopefully, you know, the end of the apocalypse.
Speaking
that could be
of just the Cubs, something I wanted to talk about was, and I really wasn't sure if he was, but I definitely think Theo Epstein is a genius.
Yes.
I mean, that guy going from the Red Sox to the Cubs, like, he's the most brilliant man that's ever been in baseball.
What I love about Theo Epstein, and I know I've said this on the podcast before, and I can't say it enough. I don't care. I'll talk about him. I'll do a podcast devoted just to him, is that when he came over to the Cubs, when they hired him to be president of baseball operations, he didn't lie. He told the fan base, here's exactly what we need to do. We're going to have to rebuild completely. The team isn't even in the 21st century. There was a story that he contacted a few of the scouts right when he took over. He like sent an email, and it was like a day or so, like not even a full day went by, and he called them and said, how come you didn't respond to my email yet? And they were like, oh, I wasn't near a computer. He's like, wait, you mean to tell me you don't get emails to your phones? He's like, this is unbelievable. Like, that's how out of date the Cubs were with technology. And this was 2011, when he heard, going into 2012 season was his first season. But this guy, in the interview, he told him, he goes, look, we're going to be bad for a few years, but there's going to come a time when the young team, when our player development hits at the right time, we're going to have all these young players coming up, then we'll spend on free agency. And at that time, it's going to line up perfectly with all these renovations we're doing with the ballpark to bring us into the 21st century. So it really is this perfect storm coming on as a Cubs fan. And he's just so intelligent. I mean, this guy's, you know, he got a degree from Yale in economics. His first job out of Yale was in the San Diego Padres front office, just doing like clerical work, it sounded like, stuff totally beneath him. At night, he got his degree from San Diego State, law degree. Never took the bar, just got a law degree, only so he could negotiate better with agents. Yeah. His grandfather and great uncle wrote Casablanca.
Yeah, I mean, there's this new genre of this new genre of like up and coming presidents of like teams that are younger and younger.
The
and
new Dodger like, guys like that, too.
And also the Phoenix Coyotes or the Arizona Coyotes. I always forget it's Arizona.
It's weird,
Phoenix.
Yeah.
They just hired a 26-year-old GM, and he was a former hockey player, and he built this like stats-based hockey database, like that is like basically just gives you all the stats you could ever need about anything. And now he's 26. He's like a math wizard, and he's the youngest GM of all time. I don't know. Yeah, I think
he
it's
might
GM.
Because Theo was 28 when
and
he took over Boston.
He's 26. Yeah, and he's and it's like a very interesting time where like stats have now been uncovered to be almost everything, you know? And there's like a lot of young geniuses like leading these like revolutions in how to manage teams. And Theo Epstein, I mean, literally, the Cubs will win a World Series, I think, in the next 5 years, unless they just the curse fucking hurts them. But I think for sure they're gonna win. And to take the Red Sox and the Cubs to the two biggest curses ever,
I know.
He's like the ultimate genius of all geniuses.
There would have to there should be some statues of him somewhere.
Yeah, there will be.
It's but then, you know, thinking about all these, I love all these brilliant minds coming over to sports, and I love that teams like the Arizona Coyotes are starting to embrace it. The Cleveland Browns recently hired Paul DePodesta from the Mets, who was Jonah Hill's character in Moneyball.
Oh, gotcha.
And he was a Harvard guy. So it's nice to see that they're embracing that. That sometimes the old boys club is going away, which is good because I couldn't stand those idiots anyway. But sometimes going back to politics, I'm like, are we wasting these genius minds right now?
I mean,
Theo Epstein should be the governor of Illinois.
I know.
He'd do a great job, I'm sure.
But that wouldn't be nearly as fun, and he'd end up fucking an intern and ruining it all.
Probably. Probably. Yeah, because he probably looked at that thinking, okay, I could probably do anything I want in my life. I'm going to focus on what makes me happy.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing about politics. We're always like, why can't this great person or that great person?
Because they're smarter than wanting to do it.
Yes, they're too smart to want to put themselves in that horrible situation.
Yeah.
Okay, Jake, you are originally from the East Coast.
Yes, sir, from New York.
New York. Tell me a little bit about how you grew up. I know, what made you gravitate towards hockey?
Well, I grew up I was naturally just athletic, which is weird because as I got older and didn't try that hard, I was like, oh, I'm not that athletic. I just could run pretty fast when I was younger, and I had good instincts. And so I just played sports very well from when I was like 5 to 13, just on natural, you know, there's no real ability there. It's just like who's fast and naturally athletic. And so I could do that. And so when I moved from the city to the suburbs, that was the thing that I did that allowed me to like be a little like not such a loser right when I first moved. I just played sports. And so because of that, my dad didn't play that many sports when he was younger, but always loved sports. Love, love, love sports. Huge Islanders fan when he was in his like 20s and 30s, and they were winning like the four straight cups and stuff like that. So I think that, and okay, so when I was growing up, 94, 93-94, I think I was like, I was born in 83, so I was like 11 when they won the cup, or like 10 or 11 when the Rangers won the cup. So that was pretty formative. The Rangers were really good at that time when they had Messier, and there was like some really high years. And I think that's a lot of what sports are. It's like the team that you're rooting for, if they're fucking incredible, like when you're young, you're going to be like, that's my thing. And so you get really into hockey. And New York, you know, they had a 54-year curse when they won. So it was like such an enormous emotional thing when they won. It was like, that was like one of the seminal moments of my childhood when they won the cup.
That was a big part of, and we're going to review a great 30 for 30 later, but that was a big part of the June 17th, 1994 documentary.
I have a whole thing about
that. Showing the parade and everyone in New York just being so pumped up about it.
Small tangent about that. So my birthday is June 18th. And so that June 17th, I remember that day so vividly because I took my friends to see Speed. That was the
That was right around.
And it was
out.
A chase in the 405. It was that night. That was like my birthday party. Was we went to go see Speed. It was a chase in the 405. I came home to watch the Knicks game, and it was interrupted by a chase in the 405 with OJ. So that documentary was like that was my childhood. Like
That's
that moment
crazy.
Was my childhood, and the Knicks and the Rangers and all that stuff were going on that day.
All
so
in the
it was
background
pretty wild.
Too. Yeah, that was an amazing time.
It was amazing.
I got to watch Speed now because now that I live in LA.
Yeah.
It's funny that moving here. I'm sure you had this when you first moved here. You're like, oh, I got to go back and watch some of these
and
movies.
Swingers, too. Swingers
it.
Is another one of those
Oh, yeah,
movies.
That came out around then, too. Totally. I went to the Cafe 101 when I first got here.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Dresden is an awesome bar.
Yeah. So I was just, like, very into hockey. And also, I would go to hockey games around that time because my dad used to advertise for his business in the Daily News and the Post. So they sometimes would get tickets to go see those games. And we'd get decent tickets for the people who would, like, advertise in their paper. So I get to see, like, some pretty cool, like games, like, sometimes in like a press box and sometimes like just good seats. So I was like, and when you go see hockey live, I think a lot of people don't like hockey because they've never been to hockey. If you go, almost everyone I know who's gone to see a game doesn't even like sports. They're like, oh, hockey's amazing because it's so tactile. You're cold. The sound is amazing. Like just the skates, like that's like such a thing. And like it's
the
so
air.
Fast.
I love the air too.
The air's incredible. And it's just like fun and cool. And it's like a weird thing. And like it's... Someone described it once as you're skating on knives. Like they're skating on knives and they're playing. They're unbelievably skilled. It's so fast. Their agility is unreal. And I just think the athleticism, I like things that are a combination of brutality and grace. And so I think that like hockey is that. It's like figure skaters who can beat the shit out of each other.
And comedian, that makes sense as a comedian really liking hockey though too. I never, brutality and grace is a great combination of words to describe it. Because I almost feel like that fits with comedy too.
Yes, absolutely.
It could be completely brutal.
Yeah.
It could be great. And when it's done right even, there's an element of danger. Even watching great comics just slaying a room, they're making it look easy, but we know how difficult it is.
And the things they're saying, like Doug Stanhope is one of my favorites, and he's like so brutal, but what he's doing is wildly graceful. And it's like, you don't even necessarily realize how graceful it is, but it's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, he's
Bill
a great
Burr,
example of that.
Like
Bill
those
Burr,
people, just it's unbelievable.
Who I know is a hockey fan.
Oh, yeah.
I had one of his buddies on to talk hockey originally, Joe Bartnick, who's one of his openers. And I wonder if Stanhope's a hockey fan. I don't know if he is, but I could see him liking it.
Yeah.
Hockey to me, you're right, though. People would just... watch it. What I love about it is I get there, I'm in my seat for the whole period and you're just watching, right? Because there's just, you never know when they're going to score.
Yep.
So that's why I was kind of, I understand why people like soccer. I've never been a big soccer fan, but I get, even though it's a low scoring game, why people, there is that element of, whoa, what could happen? You know, the field's just way too big for my liking. But with hockey, so, and then the intermission hits, and then boom, that's when you get up.
Yep.
You go to the bathroom, you get your beer, you get your hot dog, your nachos, whatever you want, and then you come back, and then it's just all action.
Yep.
That's what I like about it. You have to be glued to it. Because in other sports, you know when they're going to score. It's set up.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, there's a runner on third with less than two outs. Okay, a fly ball will get them, whatever. Football, they're in the red zone. It's third and goal. You know, everything's set. Hockey, you don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's something, that craziness I love
to it. You have
to
like really focus for, it's like you're like waiting for something like beautiful to occur and you have to really focus. I love it. It's just a great game. And I honestly think if more people went, it would be like the biggest sport in America. It is the best thing to watch live. I really believe that.
I would 100% agree. It's the best live sport. Do you ever have a part of you that thinks, ooh, if more people got into it, then it'd be harder for me to get a ticket, and then it wouldn't be this
what?
Special
That's a
thing.
Good point.
You have that punk rock viewpoint where it's like, oh, I like that back before everyone else did.
It's hard. I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah, it's hard to. I just would like a few more people to talk about it with.
Yes,
like,
that's me
even
too.
Even my friends who like sports, they like basketball, you know, and so or football, and it's like, so I don't. And those are great sports, but hockey is just a very. Sometimes you know what it is, Joe. Sometimes I wonder if I like hockey because it's not popular, and I think you're right. I like wonder if that's my thing because like I remember when I was a kid, I had a John Stockton poster, which is just makes me feel so weirdly racist and white. But I liked him because he was an amazing player that no one else really cared about, but I liked it because he was like not anyone's favorite player. Everyone liked Karl Malone, and I'm like, no, I like Stockton, you know. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I chose the number 67 because no one else had it, and it was so stupid. But it was like, I think I like me like
a little bit of a contrarian,
but I think hockey deserves more, and I would be happy with that because then they would get more money and like all that stuff. So, but. It's never going to be that popular, I don't think.
I don't think it ever will be. There's a few things going against it. There's a lot of too many European names that Americans are like, I can't pronounce that.
Well,
you know?
Also, I think one of the other things going against it is that it costs a lot of money to play.
It does. It costs way too much.
It
my high
sucks.
School. Yeah, my dad played hockey and actually played Division I college hockey at Wisconsin only for a year.
Oh, wow.
And but he was a really good hockey player. He was like, you know, one of the top players in the state of Illinois when he was in high school and everything. I never played it, though, because my parents were divorced and it was expensive as hell. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up like real blue-collar part of Chicago. My dad worked for the Chicago Park District. And my high school now has hockey, and they got it a few years after I graduated, and they did a comedy night fundraiser that I got booked for. And I remember talking to the coach, and he was telling me like how expensive it is.
It's so expensive. Not only is it expensive, but you have to practice at 5 a.m. or 9 p.m. Like when like the rink is closed for other people just skating. Like
sure.
It's like impossible for kids. It's like an impossible schedule as well.
Good skates are expensive. The pads are expensive. The ice time's really expensive. There's a lot to it. And then you have to travel because it's not like the other sports that are really popular where you can just go to one park and park has eight teams at that park alone. Like I remember the high school coach telling us that the football team was like $75 a player, but the hockey team was like almost $1,200.
Yeah,
that's why they had to do fundraiser after fundraiser.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. So I think because of that, it'll never truly become big. But you're right. It definitely deserves more attention. It's one of those things where, not to equate it to like some band or anything like that, but you know, you have that band that's yours. You love them.
Yeah.
You love that the fans that are true fans are this cool fan base, you know? It's like, I liked Nirvana when Bleach came out.
Right.
But then Nevermind blows up and you'll be like, okay, they deserve this because they're great and people should know about them.
Right.
But then you're like, oh,
yeah,
man,
it's tough.
This guy likes them too.
But I think, you know, I would bet that because we're both doing comedy, which is it's really hard to be successful in comedy. And so, you know, it used to be when you saw people in commercials, it's like you doing a commercial. And now when you see a friend that you like struggled at open mics with in a commercial, you're like, oh, good for that guy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, good. They got some money like that. Like I do feel that way. I'm like anything anyone gets, I'm like, congratulations. Yeah. Like it is so hard. Good luck.
No,
to all
yeah,
the
it totally
players.
Is. Well, here, I just figured it out. Here's how we could button this with we both want hockey to be Doug Stanhope.
Yeah.
Who is very successful, but has a really cool fan base who gets him.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what we want. And I really, that's why I kind of hate ESPN though, because they don't cover hockey.
It's offensive to me how low it's down. They put some college sports before hockey. I'm like, fuck you. It's great sport. Like it's relegated to this like kind of bullshit late night nothing. And it's like, no, this is, yeah, if they did more promoting it, I think it would be a lot bigger.
It makes
bigger.
$3 billion a year though.
Yeah.
It's not just some pathetic sport. I looked recently, and this was like 2013 numbers, so I'm assuming it's not that much different. But NFL is like $12 billion. Major League Baseball is $9 billion. NBA is like $6 billion. I think hockey is like $3 or $4 billion.
It's pretty good.
So that's still great.
Yeah, I'm actually impressed how many fans there still are. I think that's pretty good. Like,
I feel like it's growing, though.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way? Have you noticed over the last few years?
I haven't noticed, but I'm not necessarily the one to ask because I just like I just enjoy it, and I don't really think – like I don't – I guess I don't hear a lot of people talking about it anymore. It is the thing. One good thing living in LA is the Kings are good. So that's cool. I mean, like being here when the Kings are good and like seeing the West Coast kind of really get into it, like even post Gretzky, like it expanding even more because they have good teams. I think that's good, but it still isn't like, I think some people just don't even, most people who've been to sports games haven't even been to a hockey game. And I think, I just wish there were like cheap ticket nights or something like that, where they could just like get people in and create
and sometimes
lifelong
they
fans.
Have that, I know. But I mean, the Blackhawks tickets were real cheap in the early 2000s because they had like Tony Amonte was the only good guy to watch. And they were bad, and you could get them with, you know, recycle three cans of Diet Coke and you get free tickets or whatever the crap promotion they had. And in LA, LA's got a fun, they got a fun team. They got some big guys.
Really
they got a great goaltender. You know, I love watching Kopitar and Brown. The thing is, though, I think it has grown, but how long have you lived in LA now?
About 10 years.
About 10 years. See, so you probably have noticed the spike when the Kings have been good the last, since like 2011, 2012. Yeah. I think it's grown a little bit more nationally, and I'm hoping that is because you've got those original six markets that have been good again over the last 5 years. Like New York's been good again. Yep. I know it's disappointing to get bounced in the playoffs.
No, I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, you were banged up.
There was
on
an 100% chance. Yeah, I was like, there is no way we're going to win
McDonough
this series.
McDonough was out, right?
Yeah, they just weren't, and also they just didn't. They don't have like they're just not that. They're really good, and they're not great. And there were just a lot of teams that were better. And I was like, I loved how they're playing, and I really like their team, but they just. They need like a superstar. They just need like they need a killer player. Like they need like a Patrick Kane or something, and they just don't have it.
Hopefully without the baggage, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Without the baggage. Well, right now we've got Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh in the East. That series is tied 1-1. Patrick Crosby, what am I talking about? Sidney Crosby. I combined Patrick Kane and Sid the Kid had the game-winning goal in overtime. Great. He's a great player. He's one of those guys, though. That with the concussions, I almost feel like, will he ever truly be that great again?
You know what's funny about
but
Crosby?
But he looks like he's back now.
I was thinking about Crosby after he scored that goal, and I was thinking about people gave him a lot of shit. People still give him a lot of shit as a whiner. And I used to be on that train, but now I kind of am just sad because it's like he is amazing. He's a tiny dude and one of the most skilled, incredible players that has ever played the game. And he has one cup, but he should have five. And I feel like him and Malkin is one of the best players ever. Like,
you know, yeah.
And he's stunning to watch, like truly an unreal player. And I kind of feel, although I hate the Penguins, theoretically, because I'm a Rangers fan, but... I kind of want Sidney to win another.
You know, I'm rooting for them now because I hated them growing up because they beat my Blackhawks in the 92 Cup. But they always had great players, though. They went from, like, you know... Yeah.
Lemieux and Jágr
to Crosby to Malkin. I mean... But I'm rooting for him now. I've got a bunch of comedian friends from Pittsburgh. And
that's not a great place to live. They deserve it.
they really are true hockey fans there. I was there in like 2011. I went to a game. I saw the Penguins versus the Blackhawks and did some shows at the Pittsburgh Improv. And I had a really good time in that town. They really love hockey, though.
Yeah.
Where we were staying wasn't even close to the stadium, and there was Penguin stuff everywhere, and they had some outdoor ice skating rink that the Penguins paid for themselves, that was packed on every day, because I stayed with a friend of mine that... my wife's friend, and well, she's my friend too, if she's listening. I don't know why I'm clarifying that. She's not listening. Shut up, Jenny. And she was like, oh, yeah, this is the ice skating rink. I mean, it's always packed. So I kind of like.
I like them too. I mean, I kind of don't ever want them to beat the Rangers, but I also am like.
Understandable.
Sidney is like, he's still a great player. Like, he has had every injury you could ever
have.
He's
been humbled, I feel like.
Yeah, but he's great. And he works really hard. And like, he's like kind of an awkward, quiet dude who had to be captain really young. And I'm like, I'm impressed with him. I honestly, like, I think he deserves more. He'll obviously be in the Hall of Fame, but it would be nice to get him at least one more cup, then fucking go away.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
then I'm over,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, I remember the one year he was injured for like almost the whole season. Then he came back and had a real nice start. I think he had like 50 points in 30 games and he was out again. And then it was becoming this thing where is he almost shell-shocked any little bump he's like, I can't play, where he's just in his own head about it. I almost felt like Derrick Rose in the NBA became that way, where he was just afraid to jump. Yeah, that kind of depresses you because they were both guys who were quiet naturally, Derrick especially. And Derrick never really whined like Sid the Kid did. Sidney whined. I almost feel like, was that just because you were always awesome?
But he was also told he was Gretzky. Like, that's the thing. It's like, they were like, when you were sick, and he's 16, they're like, this guy is going to be the greatest player of all time. I just don't think anyone can understand what that's like. I feel that way about that guy. Oh man, I'm forgetting the Oilers guy. The one, Connor McDavid.
Oh yes.
Where it's like, and he got injured like this year and had to have like a metal plate put in or something like that. And I'm like, oh god, I was so worried. I'm like, I hope this doesn't happen to you. I want superstars to have superstar careers. I think it's good for hockey, and I think it's cool, and it's sad when these people get there. Like, they're being slaughtered in front of us. You know what I mean? I think they deserve it. They're amazing players. They've given their whole lives to this, and they entertain us so much. And I just, at the end of the day, I'm like, yeah, I hope you get your championship. I hope you're like, I hope, because you're going to live in pain forever for what you did. So I hope you have some moments of glory, because they do a lot. Even, I honestly think, even people that are like villains to you, like people you hate, they entertained you.
They
you
did.
Know what I mean?
That's
they did.
Part of it. I mean, you mentioned they need some WWE writing in baseball or something like that. It really is entertainment, and you need the bad guy. I talked about this on the podcast last week. I had Rhea Butcher on, and she went to Notre Dame for a little bit, and we were talking about, I was telling her when I went to a Notre Dame game how I never got it when the other team takes the field and everyone boos. I can understand booing during the game, but if the other team doesn't show up, you don't have a game.
Right.
You know, I don't, you know, that whole thing, but it is fun to have that, you know, the underdog. And then,
yeah, it's just fun. It's like part of the drama of it. I remember a big moment for me in my sports life was when I forgave Reggie Miller, because I'm a Knicks fan, and I realized how much I love him, because, you know, he crushed the Knicks and was just one of the most fun, dynamic villains ever. But it's like, if you don't love that, if you don't love him stepping up to the plate in New York and beating you and being like an asshole about it, then you don't like sports. You don't like it. You just want your team to win. You don't actually like sports.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it's a wonderful drama. And of course you want your team to win. But like, these players are being like, I'm the best, and they back it up. You have to give kudos to
it. It's the best reality television.
It is the best reality television.
Like that. That poster, I don't know if they turned into a poster, but to me, it's one of my favorite pictures of all time of Reggie Miller giving the choke sign to Spike Lee.
It's the best.
It's great. With Crosby, though, we were talking about those athletes that you start to feel bad for because they're told their whole lives how amazing they are. So then they can't really handle it when things don't go their way. I used to just be like, oh, this guy's a punk, or, you know, what a baby and everything like that. Now I'm not mad at the player anymore. And we see this at the college level more than anything, like with Johnny Manziel, what a piece of shit he is, and everything like that. It's the culture. Yeah. I'm mad at that culture that just inflated that guy's ego to the point where he thinks everything he touches is gold and nothing he could do goes wrong and everything like that.
Absolutely. I have, and I'm going to tell you a joke that I wrote a few months ago, and I hate to do a joke, but this, I think this explains it. This will explain how I feel about it, where it's like, you know, at the end of games, because I'm a godless Jew, so I just don't believe in God or any religion or anything like that. But,
but you're culturally Jewish?
Yeah, just because like it's so fun.
I'm like
that
with Catholicism.
It's just a fun thing to do. But when people, like at the end of games, at the end of every game, they always like talk, like go up to the player to like, how do you feel about the game? And they're like, first, I want to thank God, you know? And we always make fun of that guy. It's like, why would God care about a football game? Why would God care one team wins over the other? And it's like, if you think of it from his perspective, he's 25, he's jacked, he lives in a mansion, he fucks a new person every night. He definitely thinks there's a God because he's God. You know what I mean? It's like, why would he not think there's a God? Like, why would he not think he's God? Everyone's like, I want to fuck you. I want to give you money, do whatever you want.
Or at the very least, why would he be hedging his bets too? Just being like, in case there's a God, I'm going to say this because my life has turned out pretty awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
He's hedging his bets.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's funny. That's very good point.
But it's like
point.
True. It's like Johnny Manziel. It's like, he's a piece of shit for sure. But it's like, he was told he could be a piece of shit. So like, what's he going to do?
And he's from such a wealthy family that I remember someone saying, like, what if the well goes dry? People are saying he's spending $50,000 a day. I'm like, that well's not going dry.
Yeah.
Because even without his pro contract, he was this affluenza piece of shit kid. I hate that term. I hate that affluenza has become part of our...
I know.
It's funny to me, though. I have a joke where I talk about, you know, everyone always goes, why can't they just act like they've been there? Why do they got to celebrate touchdowns like that? Act like you've been there, you know? Like... people who say act like they've been there have never been there.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding? Like, think about what it takes to even score a touchdown in the NFL.
Please celebrate.
Yes.
That's another thing where I'm like, why can't you celebrate? It's so fun. I mean, there's part of me that
Well, that's racism too to it.
I really agree.
It's totally,
it's
always
agree.
With football players.
It's with like Cam Newton.
It's Cam Newton. Like, I've seen it the most with Cam Newton recently. And that's why I know my dad's cool, because my dad says Cam Newton's awesome.
He's awesome.
He's the, one of the only guys who looks like they're having fun in the entire league.
Yeah, it's like there's part of me that likes like the Barry Sanders like flip it to the ref kind of celebration, but then part of me is like, dance. It's awesome.
But even that was by choice.
Yeah.
Barry said that because he couldn't, he even jokingly said, I couldn't think of anything different.
Right.
And
right.
I did all my dancing on the way to the end zone because that was his style. So it looked cool. But that was still by design.
Yeah. And but it's fun.
It's fun.
When Odell Beckham Jr. does some crazy shit, it's like you're looking forward to it. You're like, what's he going to do now? And you're like,
yeah, I love the T.O. stuff from back in the day. There was, it's always by, and that's why where I think the racism comes to play, because it's always in the NFL where hockey players, every time they score a goal, they go crazy.
Lose their mind.
They lose their
soccer
mind.
Soccer players lose their fucking mind.
Take their shirts off.
Yeah.
They're so pumped they want to take their clothing off.
Another thing that I think is ridiculous and potentially racist as well is when players dunk and then hang on the rim or do some shit. I'm like, let them do it. They just dunked. Dunking is the ultimate. Dunking is cooler than going to the moon. It is like the coolest thing ever. Let them hang on the fucking rim and stare at the dude. It's the coolest thing ever.
I know.
Like, I just don't. What do we think professional sports are? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing? Yeah.
Yeah. It's just weak people. Yeah. I call it a second, not even a second, it's a third string mentality.
Yeah.
People who wish they could have done it can't, hate their current lives, and look for any excuse to just be angry.
Yeah.
And for some reason, you know, they look at the, oh, they should be doing this, they should be doing that. And then, but there is like an old culture to it that almost goes with politics.
Yeah.
Like that guy, Goose Gossage, who's a Hall of Fame pitcher. He was complaining about all of, he talked about Jose Bautista, who we were talking about at the beginning with the bat flip. He said what he did was a disgrace to Latino players everywhere. And I'm like, well,
but he's not Latino, is he?
I think he's Dominican.
No, but is Goose Gossage
Latino? No, he's not. He's not.
Okay.
Yeah, so what is his opinion mean? Shit in that area. And if a white guy, like when Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers is to discount double check, is that a disgrace to white guys everywhere? Because he also mentioned Cam Newton, which again, Goose Gossage, you're not an NFL analyst. So what the hell do you care?
I just don't get the Cam Newton thing. It's like, he's cool.
He's cool. And what I like about the way he does it is he doesn't show up the other team. He'll score a touchdown and celebrate with his teammates. You know, I can understand some parents saying, I don't like an athlete if he's going to just rub it in the other team's face. But rarely, they don't really do that anyway.
Yeah.
Bautista, when he hit the home run, didn't like point at the pitcher and be like, oh, you suck it. You know what I mean? Which would have been hilarious.
Yeah, would have been really funny. Also, I just think like they're living their dream jobs. Like it's, if people liked working in offices, they would like send an email and like start cheering, but they don't. Like they work the best jobs. They're excited to do their jobs. Like it's good to have enthusiasm.
I know. I have a friend on I see on Twitter and Facebook. She's a teacher and she'll tweet about loving her job.
Yeah,
and it's great. I don't think anyone's like, oh, relax, okay?
Yeah.
Don't need to be spiking your books at the end of every period. You know, whatever. It's just it's embarrassing how that shit works though. But that's the culture we're living in right now.
I do believe it's racist as well.
Speaking of racist, a player on the Oklahoma City Thunder in regards to their upset win in game one. Are you saying something, Megan?
When you said speaking of racist right as I came out, so I thought it was about me.
Okay. Well, you know, listeners, comedian Megan Gailey, she's been on this podcast like 19 times. Probably racist. I'm just going to point that out there about Megan. She's probably a racist. I'm kidding. She left the room, so now it's not funny. Adam, I'm forgetting his name. I'm sorry. Steven Adams. He said, you know, because he was Oklahoma City's got a great offense, high-powered offense. He had to chase them around. He said it was tough chasing around. They're quick little monkeys. And right away, everyone's like, you know, going nuts. He then apologized, I think, like 35 minutes later. I think he probably walked back into the locker room and someone said, what the hell did you just say? And I'm assuming it was some PR guy. But I know how we were, like, really, like, progressive 2 minutes ago. Now I'm at the side where I'm like, is that just a little too PC? Because he's from New Zealand. He then came out and said, look, it's a dialect thing. I didn't mean it like that. I just meant that they're fast. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't.
I think I would assume you feel this way, but as, like, a white man in society, like, I didn't realize until a few years ago how much terrible shit I could do without meaning to. And
oh, totally.
I live in fear of saying a slur I don't know is a slur almost all the time. Like, I didn't even, because I never personally in my life would ever equate a black person to a monkey. That's not something I naturally would ever think about. And
me
honestly,
either.
For a long time, because I never thought about it, didn't know people did that. That like now I'm very aware that that's a slur and insane. But the idea of like, I easily could have at some point in my life like said that, but not like not even thinking of the color of it, and then like had a disaster. And maybe he meant it, maybe he didn't, but I live in fear of that moment exactly.
I do too. I walk on eggshells.
Yeah. I'm like, I just don't want to hurt anyone. I'm not a hateful person. I just want everyone to be happy. Like, but yeah, that is a terrifying thing.
And not that I don't have the courage of my convictions to be like, hey, you know what I meant, or you know, like that type of thing. But it's one of those things where you just don't want to accidentally be an asshole.
It's terrifying.
Because if I'm going to be an asshole, damn it, I want it to be on purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
I had it recently when I said that nitpicking, apparently, to say that phrase is apparently goes back to like slavery times or something like that.
Wait, really?
Yeah. A woman told me this.
Well, that's exactly.
Because I said I hate to nitpick, but that actually happened in 1912. Because someone was quoting a Teddy Roosevelt speech. And I go, this is weird, but I know for a fact that happened in 1912 only because he wouldn't have given that speech in 1913 because the election was in 1912. And it was some really stupid thing. This was like a year ago. And then she's like, well, just so you know, you probably should be careful about nitpicking.
I honestly had no idea. And that's the thing. It's like, it's very tough because I get why people are upset. There's no question that it's valid.
She wasn't upset, though. Right. She wasn't black. She was just trying to, she just got mad that I corrected her. And I'm like, what are we in a war of words thing?
Yeah.
And then like later, a couple hours later, I heard her say paddy wagon. I go, hey, hey, because paddy wagon, that's anti-Irish.
I honestly didn't know that.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't. They're just stuff you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know Nick Vatera? He's a comedian.
Yeah.
Great guy. I was on his podcast like last June or something like that. And we talked about how there's just not enough words.
Yeah.
There aren't enough words. We need more words for things.
Yeah.
And
it's funny, like, because I'm a Jew, what's funny about being Jewish is that you can call someone a Jew and that's a slur, but that is the word.
But
like,
that's
what
the
else
are
you supposed to call them?
You ever see That's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen all the episodes, but it's a great show.
It was one of the earlier seasons when there was the one guy, because he said Jew one time. He's like, I don't think you say Jew. And he's like, no, you could say Jew like that. Okay, okay. And then later, like a scene or two later, they were mad at the guy because he was trying to like buy the building that like their bar was in or something. And they were trying all these pranks and stuff. And he's like, this Jew doesn't know what he's in for. And they're like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah,
they're like, hey, you can't say it like that.
It's so
like,
funny.
But you said it before. And then he said, you dropped a hard J on us, my man. And I just thought that was hilarious. But yeah, as being a, you know, there's not much that you could say to hurt our feelings.
Yeah, and I just don't. Yeah.
So because of that, I think we're both kind of a little bit of aware. Well, that's what I love about doing stand-up comedy is that I've met all, and I'm sure you could feel the same way, you meet people from all walks of life.
Yeah.
And you realize everybody's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody also sucks.
Yeah.
That's why I used to always be like, okay, look, not every, because people always say, I used to have a joke I did for a little bit, and I think I just stopped doing it, but I remember gay people liking the joke, because they were like, that's a really, that's what I say even, because I'd always hear people say, oh, gay people are the best, gay people are awesome. I'm like, well, some of them.
Right.
You know? I mean,
right.
Is that really being equal if you're saying they're all great? Some straight people are cool. Some
exactly.
gay people are cool. But they're still people, so most of us kind of suck.
Equality is realizing that everyone's equally a piece of shit.
Exactly. That's why, which also just sounds like a bad way to be one of those, oh, I make fun of everyone equally. I'm equal opportunity offender.
I just don't want to get yelled at. I just honestly don't want to get yelled at.
I know, because I'm tired most of the time, so I don't want to do that. But there was also a traveling call in game one. Oklahoma City, by the way, upset. I think I did mention that. I still think that series is going to go 7. Oklahoma, they're just freaks as far as...
They are freaks.
What's happening right now with Oklahoma City, I mean, Golden State's obviously amazing. They set the record 73-9. They are such a well-oiled machine in the fact that everybody knows that they know where they're supposed to be. Everyone knows where they belong in that machine. I go here. You know, they all move without the ball incredibly well. But Oklahoma, to me, has become a different team. And I know Golden State beat up in the regular season, but Oklahoma now is starting to realize their potential. And Billy Donovan, their new coach, who's clearly shown that he's an amazing coach, has Russell Westbrook actually playing like a point guard.
That guy is like... Russell Westbrook is the most fun thing ever.
I love watching him play. So Russell Westbrook was trying to call timeout. He did travel. But they were up by enough, and that traveling call was not the difference maker. And also, the NBA hasn't called traveling since what? George H.W. Bush was in office?
Yeah.
So what are you going to come? You're going to use that as your complaint?
I think it's a weird thing. It's like, it's so frustrating because obviously if it goes against you, it's like the worst thing ever.
That's also part of the fun.
But that's part of it. Yeah. It's like, I remember someone saying about, do you remember the Maradona hand of goal god in the World Cup where like Argentina won the World Cup because Maradona, there was like a cross and it was a header, but he actually put his hand against his head and threw it into the goal. And he was saying when asked about it, because it wasn't seen by the refs, but when he talked about it, he goes, it was the hand of God. That's what he said because he's a coke addict. But
naturally.
And it sucks, but it's like my friend Rodolfo, who's from Mexico, he's like, but that's the beauty of soccer, is like officiating is imperfect, you know? And it's very frustrating, but it's like, I don't think the refs are trying to fuck it up. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, so it's kind of like,
especially since,
what are you going to do? Like, I don't, it's game one.
Yeah.
And like, it's, things happen. I don't, like, what do you want?
And
like,
I'm sure there was a call
fairness?
In the second quarter that went their way. It all evens
and
out,
it's
typically.
Like, I just think if you're a better team, you're going to win most of the time. And yes, it sucks, but, like, I don't know what. That's such a childish complaint.
Well, especially in a best of seven.
Yeah.
Your better team will come out on top. I mean, in soccer.
And also,
the
Warriors,
refs could get killed.
Yes,
if they screw
the
up
Warriors
on purpose.
The Warriors blew a 13-point lead. It's like, that's the problem. It's not a traveling call. I mean, yes, it sucks, but like, if the Warriors are better, they'll win this series. I'm sorry. There's just no way.
Yeah.
I just don't. I just think that stuff, it's like, again, this is the kind of stuff where it's so frustrating if it's your team's involved, and I don't care about either team, though I like both teams a lot, but it's like, do you like the sport, or do you like this concept of fairness, which does not exist in the real world?
Yeah,
like, what
yeah.
are you watching for?
I mean, you want it to be
yes,
fair.
Yes, of course.
But
yeah.
it rarely is.
Yeah.
And if it was fair, there'd be a lot of different things in the NBA with seeding
goes. Refing is hard.
Yeah, these
that
guys, they move very fast.
Oh, my God, it's hard.
I think with the NBA, though, it's just one of those sports where the refing, of all the sports, it's the easiest to fix.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very easy to just call a BS foul on
right.
a couple guys early in the game, and that'll force the coach,
yep.
well, I got to sit you through most of the first half, and the
right.
other team takes a bigger lead because
it's
of that.
It's pretty subjective. That's like a bizarrely subjective. I mean, every ref has like a subjective job, but the NBA seems to me like fouls are always like, sometimes I'm like, I don't know how you knew that was an offensive or defensive foul. Like, I don't, like, it's really hard
That's
to know
tough.
A lot of the time. It's like, how are you watching? Like, are you watching? I don't know. It's
and
all
these
crazy
guys are 6'8", and
yeah.
they run like gazelles.
yeah.
I think gazelles is okay to say.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to, like LeBron, like offensive or defense. There's sometimes where LeBron will barrel into someone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that not an offensive
yeah.
foul?
Yeah.
How could he just lower his shoulder? And
yeah. He's a football player.
Yes, he
yeah.
really is. He's a freak. Yeah. And on that side, you got the Cavs. That series starts tonight. Cavs, Toronto. I think the Cavs are going to win in five. I really don't.
Yeah.
Think
I mean,
East is weak.
I would love to see the Raptors win, although I like Cleveland, but I'd be like, wow, they won. But I don't, how can you beat LeBron? Like,
no.
it's just not. And and Love and Irving are great. It's like, yeah, it's not gonna.
I'm officially rooting for the Cavs this year. I have so many Cleveland friends where I'm like, I want you guys need something, and LeBron's not a bad guy.
No, I like him.
I like him. I know that Michael Jordan's legacy is intact. Yeah, I'll admit I'm one of those Chicago sports fans who really just cared about.
I don't think anyone. No one rivals him.
No, nobody rivals him. So now that that's in the clear, although that's why I kind of want Golden State to lose too, because I like the idea of, yeah, they set the regular season record, but they didn't win the championship, and it doesn't mean a thing without their ring. All right, well, let's talk about this, though. Let's shift our focus. This is something I've been doing on the podcast for a few months now. So people seem to be liking it. We review a 30 for 30, and I always like the guest to choose. You chose The Price of Gold, which is the Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan story.
Mm-hmm.
Any particular reason why?
Was it
just that time in your life, 94,
yeah,
Rangers won,
it was big.
Speed came out?
Yeah, it was like, I mean, ice skating was the shit. It was like a big deal. Also, an incredible drama. I mean, any scandal like that, wasn't even a doping scandal with the Olympics. This was like a fucking hit and run. I mean, that is some crazy shit. What more do you want out of drama and sports? It also said so much about America because it was like rich girl, poor girl kind of stuff. And
it was
incredible narrative.
It was white trash versus lace curtain.
And all these like diva, like that was like a really, kids growing up now don't understand what ice skating was. Like we were all obsessed with it.
Older sister who you were born in 83, she's born the same year. She's like 16 months older than me. I remember got figure skates. That was a Christmas gift. I wanted figure skates for Christmas.
Yep.
And it was a huge thing.
And it was kind of random.
They're on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, it'd be like if lacrosse got like center stage right now. It's like so random how it got so big, but it was awesome. And it was like men and women cared about it equally. And it was an incredible drama. I mean,
I didn't think of it as women's sports.
No.
It was just sports.
Yep.
I didn't think of it like, oh, isn't this great for women? I just thought, oh, this is an awesome thing.
And it was a really beautiful thing. I mean, ice skating is incredible. Like it's an unbelievable skill to be able to do. It is like
it's very difficult.
And like they look incredible doing it. It's like it's just a really cool sport. And I don't even know if there have been dramas that good since. I think that's like one of the best Olympic world level dramas of all time. It's just incredible.
I'm trying to compare it to something and there's nothing that comes close to me about it. And I was getting excited rewatching it because I was kind of reliving that time and how it really was. There was a lot then I didn't know. That's where the documentary is great. I highly recommend watching it. The Price of Gold is that you get more into Tonya Harding's life. And there's something about documentaries I've been watching lately where was your childhood heavily documented?
Are there more than yours from what you were saying?
Yeah, I don't feel like if someone were going to make a documentary about me, if I were to do something great, hopefully one day, or if I die tragically and they're like, let's make a movie about this guy. I think they're going to be like, we got nothing.
It'd be videos of this podcast.
It's going to be, yes, it's going to be slideshows and stuff that's all happened since I became a comedian. And like I was watching that Kurt Cobain documentary. I'm like, that was like the late 60s. Yeah. And there's like hundreds of hours of footage of this 3-year-old
kid. I know. It's pretty amazing.
They show her as a 15-year-old and her friend's doing a documentary about her.
Yeah.
Not to cut you off right there, but, and I forgot the friend's name. And Tonya, this was in 86, she's 15 years old. And she's telling the camera how terrible her mother is.
Yeah.
And her mother's an alcoholic and how terrible that, all that stuff.
And
it says
a
15-year-old.
The shit out of her.
I mean, he was beating her with a brush before she was about to go out on the ice.
What's so cool about the documentary, I mean, so many things about it are cool. It's just really well told. And the director's incredible and it's edited so well. But, you know, great documentaries often show you really complicated people. And Tonya Harding is in the documentary. Nancy Kerrigan is not. Tonya Harding is in the documentary. She's now like a reformed Christian. She's clearly crazy, had a pretty horrible life.
She did.
Definitely paid for her sins. And she's lying to you. She's saying she doesn't know anything about it. And of course she knew about it. That's just crazy to think she did
it. You almost want to believe that she did it because of her mom being terrible. Like the one phone call she has with her mom where she's telling her like, oh, I advanced or I did this. So I get to go to this next thing, the internationals. You know, I took like fifth and that was I think it was fifth she had to take or something. And her mom was saying to her, you can't hear her, but then she gets off the phone and tells. Oh, my mom's like, oh, I heard you messed up your combo.
Yeah.
I heard this, so you didn't get any points for that. I heard you sucked. I heard you were terrible. I heard you were this. She's like, no, mom, I got half credit. And she's like a 15-year-old girl trying to be like, mom, no, I got half credit. I got it.
When you watch that, you want to believe she didn't, but you go, of course she did because of how horrible her life was. You're like, why wouldn't she try to fucking injure this person who got everything? And it sucks because you understand why she did this, but you can't say it's okay.
No, like, you can't defend that way of thinking.
Yeah, but it's amazing because she's like lying to you, but then being honest about other stuff. And then she had this abusive husband who's like a goon and like
total goon.
And it was just like, it's an amazing story. It's like, it's
this guy was definitely a goon.
Galooli. Yeah.
Galooli.
Yeah, he sounds
name,
like a fucking goon.
And the way
goon.
They met, he was hanging out at the rink. Why? Why was he there?
And it's
he had no reason to be
there.
It's
so funny, like thinking of ice skating too as like this really like uppity sport, and he's like the husband of an ice skater. And she was just like this weird American trashy person who really was like just a phenomenal athlete and like had this incredible drive. And like, it's a great American story. It's like she like basically came out of a trailer and got to the
wrong
Olympics.
Wrong side of the tracks.
But it fucks you in the end. Like her brain is so fucked.
I know. Cause there really is there's no like happy ending to that.
Yeah. It's just,
she had problems at the Olympics with the laces and everything
but
else.
But it was all a lie. It's clear she was just making shit up.
Mentally she was gone.
But it's incredible drama. I mean, there is no better drama. I mean, it's just like, and also Nancy Kerrigan, like coming back and deserving to win and not winning and like all this stuff. It was just like the scandal of the Olympics. Like that's another thing. The subjectivity of scoring ice skating is ridiculous.
Yeah, I got a couple notes where I wanted to talk about that in particular. She was telling this one story about how those costumes are so expensive. We're talking about how expensive ice hockey is.
Oh, yeah.
Figure skating. Holy shit. Where she had to make her own costume and it was like bright pink or neon pink or something. And she thought it looked beautiful. But a judge said, you are going to wear that. These are the U.S. championship. You ever wear something like that? Just blah, blah, blah. And she was a tough girl. So she was like, oh, yeah, how about you pay $1,500 for a costume then?
Right.
You know, but she basically told him that, you know, kiss off. And she chose music that she was, I think it was like an AC/DC song.
Yeah, I was gonna, like, she went to Kiss concerts.
She was like going where they were all like doing this violin music. And
that's why it's cool.
Lady,
it's like kind of punk
that.
And stuff. It's like, it is kind of like, it's like such a naturally like white sport, you know, and it's such like a proper sport. And it's like, it is, you always root for that person who's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's she like, was punk rock.
Do you remember Sean Avery, the hockey player?
Yes.
Sean Avery? He's kind of like Sean Avery, was like this feral kind of shitty person, but like they're insane.
Avery
and they're,
rule.
Yeah, and they're doing different things, and it's like kind of cool, but then you're like, but I kind of can't root for them because they're such a bad person, but you're like thankful someone was able to like shake it up a little.
I know a guy who knew him personally, says he's a really good guy, and then didn't he recently come out in favor of like
He's super pro gay rights.
But yeah, he like led the charge
for
that.
He's into fashion,
which then the NHL has actually done a really good job on gay rights.
Yeah,
if you could play
Crosby is super gay right, like, and I think, and it's like, why wouldn't you, like,
the Blackhawks bring the Stanley Cup to the Chicago Gay Pride Parade.
Yeah, and like Canadians just seem like better people, so
they just seem like, who gives a shit?
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean?
What are
like,
you?
Oh, you're gay. That's fine.
What
I don't
is
care.
This to work? I don't understand why we're even talking about it ever.
Yeah, you like men, I like women. What, yeah, it doesn't matter. We can pass the puck, eh? You
know? Yeah, exactly. And so, but it's just a beautiful documentary because it's like it is so deeply American. You have class. You have like hardship. You have like crime. It's like on a world level, and it's just tragedy. No one comes out a winner. Except like Oksana Baiul, you know what I mean? And what's she up to? But it's like no one is a winner. Everyone is a loser here, and it's like devastating.
And even Michelle Kwan, who became a great Olympian for the United States, I didn't know this at the time, but she, because Kerrigan couldn't compete in the USA Championships, but then they let her go to the Olympics anyway because of what had happened to her. And Kwan was just kind of like, well, yeah, if that's what they decide, I'm cool with that. And she looked like she was like 12. So that's another thing about figure skating. Your prime is 16 to 24.
Well, these are like the youngest
people ever. You're washed up when you're
like
in your early 20s. It's kind of sad too, so because they know how much. So Tanya was going into 94, like, this is going to be my last shot.
It's like being like a drunk 17-year-old and everyone in the world looking at you. It's kind of like every kid on social media now. Like, that's what it's like. Yes. It's like a nightmare. It's like you can't, you have no idea what you're doing. I just learned what I was doing like 2 years ago with my life.
I still don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, and it's like, and these are like 17-year-olds expected to be perfect. Like, yeah, they're going to, if they're being beaten by their husbands, like, yeah, they're going to fucking do some weird shit, you know?
Absolutely. It's I had a quote that I wanted to say. Tony Kornheiser from PTI. They have him talking just briefly, and he said that figure skaters are the Barbie dolls of sports. It's he goes, they're incredible athletes. What they do, they make it look easy, but the judges and the pageantry behind it has always been. It's weird. Judges decide it, and some of it is your look.
Yeah.
They have your presentation.
I know. It's
which
horseshit.
Is so crazy to me. Is it still like, I mean, it probably is still like that. What has changed? It's not under the microscope.
It has to be like that.
I'm betting in Olympics or two, someone's going to eventually be like, nah, screw that.
Yeah.
There's going to be someone we don't know coming out who's going to wear just like sweatpants and say, screw this.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be something like that. I don't know. I wonder. But yeah, I highly recommend it. I got to watch it.
One of the better ones. I definitely think one of the top 30 for 30s for sure.
I think so, because the subject matter is so rich, and they do such a good job making you, I think a good documentary makes you empathize right away.
Well, and also, like, one cool thing about 30 for 30 is, like, this is the one about the Islanders owner, John Spano, like, maybe it's called The Con or something like that.
Which is a crazy story.
Crazy story. But he was in it. They got him for it, and it's like they get the villains in it, and it's like, this is awesome. Like, I have wanted to see this for 20 years. This story was so crazy. You got them to sit down and talk about their crime. Like, it's incredible and riveting, and that's all I ever want to see.
Yeah, that's what's really impressive about this series and why I started to review them, because I'm so behind on them. I'll bump into people, and they'll be like, you're a big sports guy. Have you seen this? And I'm like, no. I would watch them here and there, but I just never made it my routine to watch them. And what I love is, you're right, they have the bad guy. Mm-hmm. They have the villain.
It's amazing.
The Benji documentary has the guy who killed Benji in it.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hampton Yunt, you know Hampton Yunt?
Yeah, yeah,
great comic. Yeah. He's not even a huge sports fan, but he watches every 30 for 30 because sports is just drama. It's just drama. It's riveting and it's real. It's like why Hoop Dreams is just transcendent. It's just drama. It's like because so many people are playing sports to get themselves a better life. And so it's just a struggle and a crazy, and you,
that's why Rocky
you do
won
it in front
best
of
picture.
Everyone. Yeah, it's incredible. And so like I honestly think why I love sports, so I watch them. But honestly, like, I don't think you need to love sports to watch any of them.
I don't think it's
kind of so fascinating.
I know a lot of people who watch them who aren't into sports at all.
Just
and
great
sometimes I think maybe it could make you get into sports. Who knows? I think there's a lot of good that
it's
sports
humans.
Bring.
It's like humans were, putting like, themselves
when,
in the line.
Exactly. Like when you said when you transferred from the city to the suburbs, sports was like your way to get to know people.
Yeah.
And that's where I think sports are great. There's a lot of, you know, I always hear stories about, oh, I was picked last and it really put me into depression and stuff like that. And that's tragic. But for every one of those, I feel like there's five stories. Some of my best friends, I did this and
right.
I learned teamwork and we did all this kind of stuff. And you learn a discipline and everything like that. I still think sports could work on the culture of not being so shitty to people who aren't great right away.
We need to do better with it, but we can do better with everything.
I reviewed Trophy Kids, which is the only 30 for 30 I didn't. It's not a 30 for 30.
I've seen that one.
Have you seen that? Yeah, and that's just, it's like, what is wrong with you?
I know.
And I love that when, especially with the little girl golfer, when the dad wasn't allowed, they had a tournament where parents weren't allowed, she won.
Yeah.
And yet he still didn't change his mindset.
Devastating.
How I think do you too not many think, people oh, maybe I need to back off?
Two people were influenced by Tiger Woods' dad. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, that's sad to me. Because like Tanya's story is a great sports and a great American story because it's, I have horrible parents and I'm using this to get me out of this. But that Trophy Kids were all these parents who were using their kids to
live
their own
through
life.
Them.
Yeah,
also just
living
to like,
vicariously.
Oh, it's just the worst.
It's sad. I didn't mention this because we're both rooting for Pittsburgh to beat Tampa.
Yeah, I mean,
I wanted to wrap up
I
the
like
NHL.
Tampa too, but I'm kind of fine. Like, I think all the teams left
Tampa
are like,
went to a cup 2 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, it's like I don't really care. Last year. Whoever wins, I'm kind of like just curious. See, I don't give a fuck about any of the teams left. I'm like, I think they're all like interesting, but I'm not passionate about any of them really.
I would like it if the West wasn't represented because I don't like either of those teams.
Yeah, those teams.
I think I had to go with the Sharks though because the Blues and the Blackhawks have a little bit of a rivalry. Mm-hmm. And although Tarasenko is such a great player, and Elliott's been standing on his head is the most overused phrase in hockey, but he's really been killing it in goal for them. And they have good defensemen. I do have to give the Blues a lot of credit, but I just don't like their fan base.
I get it.
And being a Blackhawks fan, I just had to deal with them too much growing up. And the Sharks, these are two teams that are usually playing golf by now. They never get this far. They're always teams that people
predict. They both kind of deserve it. They've been pretty good for a while.
That's why I kind of was okay. I did one of those NHL brackets before the playoffs started. And I, as a homer, I picked the Blackhawks, even though I wasn't that confident going into it, but I picked them. And then I had the Capitals, because I thought, this has got to be the year the Capitals break through. It's got to be.
I don't know what it is, man.
I don't know what it is.
I love Ovechkin
so
much.
You really feel bad for Ovechkin at this point.
He's just the best,
He's so good to watch. All right, well, where could they find you, Jake? Thanks for doing the podcast,
man.
I had a great time talking to you.
I'm on Twitter, at WeismanJake, but you know, just Google me. You'll find me somewhere.
Yeah.
Some weird
cool.
Shit.
Find him. Any big news you want to tell anybody? Anything to look out for?
Noah Syndergaard. A Mets fan, watch him this year. He's a pleasure to watch. He had two homers the other day when he pitched. He's the one I'm most excited about now.
He is a great
pitcher.
The Mets
pitchers are great, and I'm just trying to enjoy them right now.
Okay, well, I hope my Cubs get revenge on you guys, though. All right, well, thanks for listening to Comedians Talking Sports, everybody. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Kilgallen. Leave us a review on iTunes. It does go a long way. Thank you to the people who have. And, I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to Comedians Talking Sports. Mm-hmm.